Okay. At the beginning of the semester, when we looked at our investment universe, overview of the investment universe, we just had a few lines, a few pieces of information about what are called hybrid securities. And the idea is you want the best of both worlds. The problem with these things is they also have the disadvantages of both worlds. Nothing's free, right? And so we're going to find that preferred stocks sound really cool, because, I mean, wouldn't you rather have preferred stocks than simply common stocks? But the answer is no, you really don't want them, although some people might. And then convertible securities sound really cool because it reminds you of a convertible sports car with the hair blowing through your wind or and wind blowing through your hair. And yet, no, they're not that exciting. And maybe you might find something great. But what are preferred stocks? Well, these are stocks that live between bonds and common stocks. They have a prior claim ahead of the common stocks, but beneath the bond holders. Bond holders are first in line if something goes wrong. Right? They get first claims on the assets. Preferred are next, and then stockholders are last. But usually, the bondholders have picked over the carcass. You know, preferred and the common stocks are not going to, holders are not going to get anything. They're also called hybrid securities. Some people call them fixed income stocks. Some people lump them in with bonds. They throw them in with bonds, which is not true. I mean, they're not debt. They are equity. But they tend to pay a fixed dividend. Sometimes it's called the percentage of par. They say these stocks, the par value is $100. Now, that's not what the price is. But we're going to pay you $7, 7% preferred. Every year, you're going to get $7 on each share. They don't go up. Didn't we see how some common stocks raise their dividends over time as the company does well? Isn't that cool? I think so. But preferreds tend to stay fixed, like a bond. But they represent equity, and it doesn't count as debt on the corporate balance sheet. They are not interest payments. They are dividends. So you see how they have a little bit of both worlds? They're fixed like a bond, but they're paying you dividends, and they are not debt. So those bonds, those dividend payments are not mandatory. What are the advantages? Highly predictable income stream. Excellent record of meeting dividend payments. And here's the kicker. If you're a corporation, and we're not corporations, we're individual investors, but if a corporation buys these preferred stocks, they get tax benefits. They get to write off some of the dividend that they receive, and they don't have to pay taxes. So right off the bat, we're at a disadvantage, we individual investors, because we have to pay everybody like everybody else as if they were dividends from a stock, which they are. But if you're a corporation, then you pay, I think it's 65% of what you owe. So in your Warren Buffett, and you run Berkshire Hathaway, this is what he uses when you hear him, when you read or hear them say he just invested $5 billion in Goldman Sachs. In the Great Recession, GE, GE, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America all needed cash. And who is there with cash? The contrarian investor? Mr. Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway. He bought newly issued preferred stock from Goldman Sachs, 10%. 10% preferred. So on his $5 billion investment, every year, Goldman Sachs had to pay him $500 million. And to buy back those shares, Goldman Sachs had to pay a penalty, a prepayment penalty, of another $500 million. Now, do you think you or I are going to get that kind of deal? Plus, they have tax advantages because Berkshire Hathaway is a corporation, so they don't pay as much taxes.
So, of course, Goldman Sachs paid off that loan, basically what it was is a loan, as quickly as they could, right? Because, well, I don't think we have it. I should go back. We should go back. We've got a little time. One of the cool things of most preferred is that it is cumulative. We should go back to the other. We'll go through here. It is cumulative. Most preferred is cumulative preferred. And what does that mean? Let's hang on a minute. Now, what are the disadvantages? Well, it's got the problems of bonds in that it's susceptible to inflation because your return is fixed. Dividends can be suspended or postponed, unlike bonds, which have to be paid. And you don't really get the big substantial capital gains that you normally get from common stock, and they don't pay as well as bonds. So they have some of the advantages of stocks and bonds and some of the disadvantages that are hybrids. Now, let's go back to the other one. My apologies. I really should not do this. How are we doing? Ask me if I know what I'm doing. Come on. Where's the chapter? Is that it? This is it. No, that's the wrong one. That's it. Okay, let's ask me if I know what I'm doing. Where's the cumulative? Okay, the calculations. Ah, here it is, number 8. Cumulative versus, okay, by the way, there are senior and junior. This is the pecking order of senior and junior bonds having more priority. But we saw in Chapter 5, when we dealt with stocks, that the company doesn't have to pay the dividends. I mean, some companies have been paying dividends for 100 years. But they can suspend the dividends at any time. And there are no obligation to pay you in the future. Whereas preferred, sure, they can suspend the dividends, just like common stock. But if they are cumulative preferred, that means before you pay any common stock holders any more dividends, you have to pay me the dividends you didn't pay me. Say you decided to stop paying for 1 year, and so I didn't get my $7. Before you can pay the common stockholders, you have to pay me the dividends that are said to be in arrears. Have you heard that saying, in arrears? In other words, they owe it to you. Back pay. The in arrears dividends must be paid before any other dividends can be paid. Preferred or common. So that's a very cool feature of preferred stock for those people who are interested in the dividends. But throughout, I've been around for a while. I've only known 2 people actually invested in these things. And one of them wasn't too excited about it. The other guy, that's what he did. He wasn't my client. He was my boss's client. And he would call her and say, I want to buy 20,000 bucks or whatever. Obviously, he had a lot of money. I want to buy a ton of this preferred stock right before they would pay the dividend. He would earn his dividend, and then he would sell the shares. And so, you know, he's trying to juice the dividends out of these preferred stocks, and that was his strategy. Cool. Okay, now let's come back. Okay, callable versus not participating. Yeah, we'll come back to this later. Okay, now. Let us take a look at the formulas, because they're pretty darn straightforward. Let's just go right to the worksheet. Here's the easiest 5 points all semester long. Are you cool with that? Let's go to chapter 18, the worksheet I just gave you. The calculations for convertibles are pretty darn straightforward. And remember, all the bonds in this class will always have $1,000 face value, par value. Oh, wait a minute. Ooh, this is the convertible stuff. Yeah, let's do it. Convertible bond. Maybe not. Maybe, you know what? Are you guys thoroughly confused? Yeah? Darn. No, I'm sorry. No, I don't mean to do that. Let's go back and do the convertible now. Now, convertible securities. Now, this could be preferred stock or convertible bonds.
So it would be convertible, preferred stock, or convertible bonds. And we'll just deal with convertible bonds. Convertible bonds or convertible preferred stock are called deferred equity. It means that those things can be converted into common stock. Once you do that, you can't go back. You have a convertible bond. If you convert it into stock, that's it. You now own the stock. And so that's why they sometimes call it deferred equity. We sometimes call it a kicker, equity kicker. If you go buy a bond, I mean, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get your interest payments. You're going to get $1,000. Or if you buy the stock and the stock explodes, whee-bee, you're going to do really well. The bondholders, no. They get their money back and that's it. So if you have a convertible bond and the stock explodes, yippee, because then you can take that bond, turn it into stock, and make a ton of money. Sounds too good to be true? It doesn't always happen. I don't know. I've never seen it happen because I don't get involved with these things. But let's say you have a $1,000 bond, and it has a 20-share conversion ratio. That means you could turn in that $1,000 bond, and they will give you 20 shares of stock. It's that simple, really. It's not that hard. So there's a conversion period, sometimes deferred for 5-10 years. There's the conversion ratio that we just talked about, 20 shares for one bond. And then there's the conversion price, the price at which the common stock will be delivered to the investor, and not just the $1,000 divided by the $20. Now, if the stock were selling less than $50, would we bother to convert? No, but if the stock were selling for $100, we could convert that $1,000 bond into 20 shares at $100 a share and double our money. Okay, the conversion value is the indication of what a convertible security would trade for if it were... Yeah, I'm sorry.
So is it determined by, like if it's a corporate bond, it has to be like that company?
Yeah.
Okay.
You buy a convertible bond for Schlumberger. That one wasn't convertible. You buy a convertible bond for Schlumberger, and the stock price explodes. The price of your bond is going to go up. You could sell the bond, or you could say, "I'll take the 20 or 50 shares or whatever it is."
Okay.
Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Well, it's if you're into like trading in the stock market, it's a good tool to, you know.
I don't know. I've never watched. All I know is the one guy said, "Yeah, no."
Easier access and more expensive.
Exactly. Well, you hope. You hope, right? But what tends to be, it tends to. I don't know.
It,
that's the idea. It could be, but I don't know that it will be. So on Thursday, what we'll do is we'll review this really quickly. We'll do the worksheet. Easiest 5 points all semester long. Okay, is that a deal? I promise you. Wait till we do these calculations. We'll go, oh, yeah, this is pretty straightforward.
What about the test questions
when
you give us the answer?
Oh, they're on the website. Okay, here they are. That's a good question. Let's go to the, assuming I know what I'm doing. There it is. If you go to the website, you'll see, they're not here. They're under.
Answer key?
No, that's for the worksheet. They're up here under announcements. Here, the three questions about hybrid securities on exam number 4. So remember, it's going to be about exam number 4, which will not be next Tuesday. It'll be next Thursday, not this Thursday, next Thursday. It'll be about bonds. So study bonds. I'm not going to give you the answers to those. But there'll be three questions about preferred stock and convertible securities. And because they're not that important. But you do need to understand them. Because here's the question you're going to get from somebody. Well, wouldn't I rather have preferred stock than common stock? And what do you say?
No.
No. You don't want preferred stock. That's for Warren Buffett. It ain't for us. Although you might be interested. You know, you might say, I like the fixed idea that it's going to pay me a certain amount of money. I don't know. Okay, so on Thursday, we'll finish this up, and then we'll... Now, I don't know about you, but whenever a professor says that, it really scares me, because I had a professor. We didn't know what the hell we were doing, what he was doing all semester long. He said, and now, next week, we'll wrap everything up. And I think, I know many of you are a little bit confused, but
But I think this will really put things in perspective. And then we're all going, okay, okay. And then as he's going through, we're looking at each other. You understand? So, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning and wrap everything we've done together into asset allocation and diversification. So we'll see you on Thursday. And anybody sneak in?